One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
And also, big PSA to these people, but playing cool girl is beating your fucking ass. Being the cool girl all the fucking time is beating you to a pulp. What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the weekly slumber party for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck, who is so fucking confused on what day it is. It's not even funny. Thank God I looked at my calendar, because I almost hauled ass tonight to go to the AMC in Lincoln Square because I thought that I was supposed to go see an early screening of On Swift Horses tonight. Turns out it wasn't tonight. It is tomorrow. Oh my God. Thank God I looked. I don't know what day it is. I don't know where I'm supposed to be and when. I am so discombobulated these days. I don't know. There's something in the air. All right. The weather is just perfect for me right now. And I have been going on walks every single morning and just trying to enjoy a couple more 40 degree mornings while I still have them. And I feel like in my pursuit to enjoy my life a little bit more, I have forgotten so much else. I feel like so often people talk about, you know, going on walks, getting out there, fresh air in the morning. They're like, I can think so much clearer. Like, I just totally get ahead of myself. I get the day all mapped out. I feel so incredible. I swear to God, I go on these walks, and don't get me wrong, I feel incredible, fully indulge experiencing every corner of my brain. And also, I feel like I'm experiencing like the parts of my brain that I want to experience, not necessarily the parts of my brain that I need to experience, like what falls on my calendar for that day. I feel like I go on these walks and I'm like struck with inspiration. I'm like, God, I can feel every molecule of air going into my lungs right now, that nice, icy feeling. Just enjoying the day, birds chirping, people are outside, you know, boots on the ground in my community, living life. Everything starts to feel better. I'm hit with fresh inspiration, okay? Bright eyes, bushy-tailed. I'm ready to tackle the rest of my day, okay? But that inspiration sends me off in a totally fucking different direction. The inspiration is like, here's what you would like to think about today. Here are all these ideas that came to you on this beautiful, glorious morning walk. And then all the things I'm supposed to be fucking doing, I just forget about. And to be honest, it wouldn't have even mattered if I remembered it in a like concrete way because I had it written on my calendar as being tonight. So it actually didn't matter, right? Thank God I ended up looking at my emails for some reason rather than looking at my calendar. I was like, what is it that I'm supposed to do today? Oh, it's the screening. Let me look at my emails instead of looking at my calendar. I don't know why I did that. Thank God I did. Otherwise, I would have hauled my ass to fucking AMC Lincoln Square for no fucking reason. And for those of you that don't live in New York, that shit is not close to me. That shit is not close. It is going to take me like 45 to 50 minutes to get to AMC Lincoln Square. Thank God I didn't do that. Thank God. So really loving my morning walks, really in a morning walk era. I just go outside, I listen to an entire album, top to bottom, come back home. It really has been good for my brain, but when I tell you, I feel like it just allows me to think about all the things I want to think about and not necessarily what I need to think about. I really do mean that. It's been awesome for my mental health. And also, the task list now needs to be tattooed onto my retinas because I'm not remembering it. Okay? Thank God I'm, you know, crazy about Notion and write everything down. But that was a close one, what we experienced today. All right? It was close. It was too close, even. How often have you been watching a corn film and thought to yourself, who is this for? In my own pursuit of finding the sexiest, most thrilling, women-centered, spicy content, whether it is audios or films or books, I have stumbled upon something quite wonderful. And that thing is a community-produced corn film. Cheeks, who I've told you guys about before, recently did a Vote for Your Corn campaign where their community of lovers of spicy film, over 2,000 people to be exact, voted on what they wanted to see in their next original production, from the setting to the performers to whether or not toys were used and more, which I just thought was so cool and so refreshing. So much of spicy content is not really appealing to my demographic. So much of it is not produced with women in mind. So it's really nice to see the audience be taken into account and really included in the production process in this way. Anyways, the result of the campaign was this super hot film entirely shaped by community preferences called Full Control. It's queer, it's pleasure forward, and it is so ridiculously sexy. Cheeks just continues to nail it for me in the production department. They have so many incredible fantasies played out in their films. I honestly feel like a lot of them were ripped directly from my brain. And you can feel good about consuming them because Cheeks makes sure that all of their spicy films are based on fair pay, legal, and ethical working conditions, which just results in more authentic, diverse, and consensual, pleasurable scenes for all of us to enjoy. They have such a wide range of content that's constantly being updated. So no matter what it is that your specific fantasy is, they're definitely going to have something for you over on Cheeks. And it's not only ethical corn films they offer. There's also a lot of very hot audio content, which I am a huge fan of, and educational tutorials as well. So you can sort of dip your toe into a bunch of different kinds of content. So if you're interested in checking out their site and enjoying some ethically made and non-icky spicy content, you can head to the link in the description of this episode and use code Maddie for 7 days of free unlimited access to Cheeks. Test it out, see if you like it, start indulging in some of the hot audios, spicy films, watch a couple tutorials for 7 days or longer. And if you find out you love it, the subscription starts at only $9.90 a month. All right, so top of the app, I feel like we kind of have to talk about White Lotus, which the third season of just wrapped up. I haven't talked about White Lotus at all during the season because, to be honest, this is probably my least favorite season of White Lotus. It was slow moving for me. The first couple episodes I was not super into. So I wasn't really watching in real time ever throughout this whole season. I watched like the first two episodes and I was like, geez, this is a little slow. And then I waited a couple weeks and then I caught myself up, binged like 3 or 4 episodes in the same day. By the time we reached the incest storyline, that's when I started to be like, oh, okay, Mike White. Like, now I'm interested in the season. So past that point, I've been watching it in real time. But it was a slow burner for me, babes. And definitely looking at the 3 White Lotus seasons, this one is my least favorite by a mile. I was actually really mad at the finale, and not in like an exciting way. Like, you know, sometimes you get to the finale of a show and you are so mad to the point where you're like, what? Oh my God, what the fuck? You have this like huge reaction. That's not what this finale did to me. The White Lotus finale, I was pissed about, but in a way that was so utterly predictable. I knew that that's what was gonna happen. So when it was happening, I'm like, bro, fuck you. And I'm opening up Nutsort on my phone as a palate cleanser for my brain, okay, to try to disconnect myself from how disappointed I was. It wasn't even worth getting mad about. It was like, that's dumb. That's so stupid, bro. Fuck you. Like, it, that is when you know that something truly went wrong. Because I'm all about big reactions to media. Big, harsh, intense reactions, right? And I, if I was Mike White, would have rather people been like, fuck this shit, up in arms, like punching their television screens, than what I think most people did at the finale of White Lotus, which was just to be like, bro, I fucking hate your ass. Why? We all knew this. We all predicted this. We all saw it coming, and I fucking hate you for it. Fine. 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 Okay. I get it. I get the whole storyline, all the other meanings, why those two characters were the ones that had to die. I fucking get it. And also, fuck you. And also, fuck you guys. Secondarily, and I'm shocked none of you bitches pointed this out, but Chelsea and I, we might be kindred spirits. Chelsea and I, listen, me and Chelsea, she's so fucking me. She is so fucking me. She loves an emotionally tortured man with a receding hairline. Yeah. Come on, that's kind of been my whole gig since I was 18. Emotionally tortured men with receding hairlines. I have been driving their fucking PR campaign for the last decade. Where the fuck was my credit, okay? And you know what? Here's what I have to say about this. There are people who post online and they're like, Walton Goggins is so hot. True. Objective truth. And then there are other people that will be like, oh my God, no, he's not. And these people will respond and be like, no, it's just like his vibe. Like, he has a hot vibe. And it's like, it's not just the vibe, you fucking morons. He just is sexy. Like, I love a receding hairline. I love baldies. I love receding hairlines. This is something I've never understood. I will never drag a man for not having hair because guess what? I prefer it if they don't. I will never. I will never. Okay? Do you understand me? Not to be on the man defense squad today. I hate to be here. I hate to be here. Okay? On the receding hairline defense squad. But unfortunately, this is where I live. Some of you bitches just got here. Unfortunately, I've spent a lifetime. Okay? So you need to get back out front of the doors, front of house, wait outside. I'll let you know when it's time for you to come in. Because some of you bitches are not riding hard enough. You cave so quickly. It's just the vibe. He just has a vibe about him. It's not just the vibe, okay? He's just sexy. He's just hot. That's it. It's not the vibe. I mean, it is the vibe. He has a great vibe. And also, he is just hot. Receding hairlines are hot. Duh. Tired of it. Tired of you sickos who won't own what you think is hot. All of a sudden you're like, oh, well, it's not that, is that? No, it isn't. No, it is not. He is just hot. That's why Chelsea is so fucking me, dude. She is so me. Deep in astrology, speaking to a man who is so emotionally dysregulated, and she's like, we gotta crack into you, dude. We gotta get in there. And like, I hate to say it, I'm not proud to admit that I do love myself an emotionally tortured man, but I do. What can I say? That is my kryptonite. If I could get away from them, I would. And maybe someday I will. I don't know. But right now, looking at my dating history, I cannot confidently tell you that that's not what I'm into. I can't sit here and act holier than thou. Like, when I was 18, I dated a man who was 21, the demon. He looked just like Walton Goggins. Straight up, that is his doppelganger. He was 21 and he looks like that. And I loved him. Or at least what I thought love was at that time. And he is a demon, but he was sexy. And I'll give him that. You know, you win some, you lose some, I guess. Point being, I'm tired of people who look at someone who is not like, I don't know, a fucking Ken doll. And they have to be like, oh, well, he's hot because of his vibe. As if it's like crazy for you to be like, no, that man is physically attractive just because he doesn't look like fucking Ryan Gosling. You know what I mean? I just feel like too often, the second anybody has anything interesting about them physically, if you say that you think they're physically attractive and anybody questions you on it, suddenly you're like, well, it's their vibe. It's their general essence. It's their confidence. It's their personality. I'm kind of sick of that. I'm like, no, they are just hot. They are just fucking hot. Do you understand how irritating it would be if somebody was like, Maddie is so hot, and someone was like, really? And they're like, oh, it's just her vibe. No, bitch, I'm just fucking hot. Fuck you. Like, yeah, it is also my vibe. I noticed your vibe from across the bar. You're really fucking sexy. Like, yeah. Yeah, okay. I did notice your vibe from across the bar. Okay. I saw you, bitch. Okay, I noticed. And also, I noticed because you are just fucking hot. You're just fucking hot. It's more than a vibe. You're also just hot. I'm tired of the caveats, bitch. He is just hot. Period. End of sentence. Listen, some of you need to enhance your taste palates expeditiously. You've been warned. Guys, this past weekend, Lover Girls Worldwide needed to go into lockdown. And you know why? We're actually still in lockdown. Because our bunker was broken into. We were exposed to the rest of the world, okay? This corner of the internet got way too much airtime. Way too much, all right? I posted a clip from last week's episode over on TikTok, and it has over 1 million views. Who the hell are you people? Who the hell are you? But it was a clip of my It'll Happen When You Least Expect It take. Specifically, it was a Hopecore edit of the portion of my It'll Happen When You Least Expect It take where I'm like, why would I not expect it? I'm fucking awesome. I'm so fucking cool. Why would I not expect it? Because that's funny. But God, okay. 1 million views later on TikTok and like 500,000 views later on Instagram, you think I don't have more things to say? Stop commenting. Everyone stop commenting. Stop engaging with me. If you keep talking to me, I will keep talking back. Okay? This is the problem. This is the problem. I can never let someone else end a conversation. It has to be me, bitch. Please. I would love to switch topics, but we can't. We cannot, because I have more things to say in response to some of the comments that were left on my now viral TikTok. Because I'm a TikToker now. Just kidding. I would literally collapse dead in a ditch, okay? Kill me within the bunker if it ever comes to that. And obviously, I'm being dramatic. Most of the comments on this TikTok and this Instagram post were just other girlies being like, so real, me too, and tagging their besties. And I'm like, this is what it's all for, people. But one of the comments that I kept seeing over and over again on the TikTok was people being like, this is why I'm so easy to love bomb. Because when somebody says that they love me and they're obsessed with me after 2 days of knowing me, I'm like, of course they do. I'm the best. And when I saw those comments, I was like, so love you guys so much. And also, I think that's a completely different thing entirely. I love you so much. Love you so much. And also, I don't think that believing in your sauce and having confidence is the reason why you're being effectively love bombed. I hate to say it. I hate to call you guys out like this, but I don't think that that was maybe the final conclusion we should have come to. I love you so much though. With peace and love. With so much peace and love. Having high self-esteem, having confidence in yourself, knowing what you bring to the table is not the thing that makes you easy to love bomb. Number one, it's not your fault if you're love bombed. Let's just start there. But second of all, if you find yourself routinely falling for love bombers, it's not a one-time thing that happened, as most of us have gone through at least once. If it's like a routine thing that you are falling for love bombers, I would ask yourself why you care what they think of you over what you think of them. If you're constantly believing people who love bomb the fuck out of you and say that like you're the one after barely knowing you, consider that you are ignoring your own perception in favor of this person laying it on thick before you even have time to calibrate how you feel. Love bombing has never worked on me because I find it incredibly pathetic and off-putting. Seeing someone obsess over me without truly knowing me has never read to me as like, oh, well, of course they see how great I am. It's been 2 days. Yeah, that's all it takes because I'm that fucking great that obviously they love me. That's never how it is read to me when somebody has like really laid it on thick to me. It's never, oh, this person really sees how great I am and that's why they're laying it on thick. It's always like, so what is this person running from? Because they don't know me. You do not know me, bitch. And to see someone so enraptured by me without even knowing me, I know they don't know me well enough to have that strong of an opinion about me. So to me, it's always going to read as like avoidance or someone running from something or just generally pretty pathetic behavior. I'll back myself 100%. I know what I bring to the table. And also, I think that people need like a reasonable amount of time to really see all of me, the same way I need a reasonable amount of time to see all of them. I'm not a believer in love at first sight. I'm not even a believer in having one soulmate. Like, I'm a complex lady. You can't look at me and just think you understand all of me. The kind of love I'm interested in is not something that can be understood or even seen the potential of in the span of a couple days. That's just not what I'm looking for. I don't want anyone who thinks that they are in love with me at first sight, period. Because you're not in love with me at first sight. You are using me as a distraction to cover up some kind of void you have within yourself. It's not about me. I'm not so incredible that you know so quickly that I am worth fighting for. You are running from something. It's as simple as that. I want someone to truly see all of me, understand all of me, really know me in a deep, time-spanning, complex way, and choose to spend life with me. It is not romantic or charming to me to have someone obsessed with me super quickly. I've never really understood when people read that as like a confidence boost. Like, yeah, he's known me for a week and he's literally obsessed with me. I'm like, what's wrong with him? And that's not even like a slight towards you. It's not that you're not incredible or that you're not worth loving like that. It's just that he simply doesn't know you well enough to be behaving like that yet. So it's a little suspicious. I'm like, you sure he's ready for a relationship? You're not in love with me at first sight. I don't want you to be in love with me at first sight. Please don't be in love with me at first sight, all right? Because I want someone who is well-informed, who totally gets me and sees the vision, you know, sees the vision with me. That's meaningful. That's real. The idea of someone trying to sell me a love at first sight fantasy is just like, do you think I'm dumb? Do you take me for a dummy? You can't love bomb me. I don't buy it. I find it pathetic. Also, I want someone who believes in their own sauce. Like, I don't want someone to be fucking groveling for me. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to be two normal adult people that get to know each other and uncover their compatibilities and, you know, realize that they really understand and see each other and connect. And they have this like beautiful, wonderful thing that blossoms. I don't need someone to be like, you are my fucking queen, after 2 weeks of knowing me. And trust that men have tried this with me, and every single time, all of a sudden I leave. And they're like, what happened, baby? And I'm like, who the fuck is your baby? Who the fuck is your baby? Do not be throwing all this on me. It's actually, you know what? Love bombers really have tried with me at several points. And I'm always like gobsmacked by it. There was one guy in college who we hooked up twice. Two times we hooked up. And then I guess I didn't text him for like a couple days. And he texted me out of the blue one afternoon being like, if you see my girlfriend, let her know I want to talk to her. And I was like, girlfriend? I was like, who's your girlfriend? And he was like, don't be funny. Brother, we have had sex twice. We have had sex 2 times. You have never taken me out on a date. We have never had a conversation about this. I was 19 at the time and was recovering from the demon. I wasn't even trying to date at that time. Okay? We had sex 2 times. And this man was like, if you see my girlfriend, let her know I want to talk to her. Because I didn't respond to his text. Okay. I don't know who the fuck that's worked on, but it's not going to be me. It is not going to be me. All right. And even a couple years ago, right after my year of no dating, 2022, I believe, there was this guy that I went on a bunch of dates with, and I was actually really enjoying getting to know him, but he kept laying it on so thick, and I kept telling him, like, hey, loving to get to know you, and also, we need to really take this so much slower, because I am not into all that. It honestly, it makes me feel deeply unsafe and like unstable. It makes me distrust them when they lay it on like that. This guy was like really laying it on thick and also really would come on to me quite sexually, and I would tell him over and over again, I'm like, I'm not hooking up with you. I'm not gonna have sex with you, just so you know that. I want to like date and get to know someone before opening up that side of it. And he was like, yeah, totally on the same page, get that, love that, queen. And then he would get alone with me and he'd be making moves, and I was always like, okay, please stop. Like, there was this one time that he cooked us dinner and I was washing the dishes afterwards and he's coming up behind me being really touchy-feely with me, and I was like, okay, cool it. The answer is still no. And I was like routinely off put by how intensely he was coming on to me physically when I kept saying that I wanted to like pump the brakes on that. And then it's like 11 p.m. and he's texting me like, you want to come over and watch a movie? No, 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 I don't. I've hung out with you 3 times. I don't want to come over at 11 p.m. and watch a fucking movie. What happened to courting? What happened to being fucking courted? Okay? Stop trying to fuck me. And he would lay it on thick with his words too. But I really felt like he had an ulterior motive. I was like, you are just gunning to have sex with me. And that makes me really distrusting of you. I'm like, I want someone who will spend time getting to know me and understanding me and really allow their attraction to me to build over time. But when you're gunning for sex, I'm like, you want one thing from me and it's not the thing that I want. So why are we even doing this? Which is eventually why we stopped seeing each other. And I've met a couple guys that were like that. You know, we go on one date. If it was in college, maybe we hooked up once or twice. And then they're laying it on thick, calling me baby, sending me these really, really invested good morning texts. Bleh. You know what I was reminded of the other day? This is like a side tangent completely, but do you remember the girlfriend manifesto? Oh my god, I almost fucking forgot about that, and then I was reminded of it. There's an episode of this podcast called The Girlfriend Manifesto, which was about, I went to a speed dating event, and there was a guy that I met at this event who asked for my phone number at the end. I gave it to him, and he starts texting me a little bit, and he sends me over a like PDF file of, I mean, it was the only thing I could call it was the girlfriend manifesto. It was a PDF like document of his list of requirements for a girlfriend. I was gobsmacked. I talk about it all in that episode. If you haven't seen it, definitely go watch it. I re-listened to that portion of the podcast a couple weeks ago because I was like, holy fuck, do you remember that? And in the manifesto, he was like, my girlfriend must be slim and without trauma. And I was like, who the fuck? Why did you even ask for my number, you motherfucker? First of fucking all, who? Do you have eyes? Slim who, baby? What the fuck? Fucking bonkers. Girlfriend manifesto. God, yeah, I have really come across some real funny people. Real funny people throughout this life. And the best part about the girlfriend manifesto guy was that we had met at a speed dating event, which means that we talked to each other for like a grand total of 5 minutes. And then we exchanged probably like 30 minutes worth of texts back and forth. Like, we barely engaged with each other. And he sends me that PDF file of his girlfriend must have list. And it was the craziest list I've ever seen in my entire life. And we obviously never talked after that. I was like, what? What is this? Oh my God. So anyways, yeah. No, love bombing definitely does not work on me. Because I find it quite pathetic. So if you listened to me say, it'll happen when you least expect it. Why would I not expect it? I'm so fucking cool and awesome. And you thought to yourself, I totally agree with her. And that's why I'm easy to love bomb. Consider that's not why you're easy to love bomb. Consider we have other questions that maybe we should ask ourselves. Okay, separately, still connected to the it'll happen when you least expect a TikTok, I have something to say about those dumb fucking losers who think that being honest about wanting a relationship automatically makes you desperate. Because I saw some people, granted this was not many of them, but I'm a bitch who fixates. So guess what? I have a note for you bitches too. But I saw some people being really nasty to other lover girls in those comments who are being more vulnerable and open about their frustrations in dating and their longing for a partnership. And, you know, you see these people who read one comment from this person and they're like calling them desperate. And I'm like, that is so lame. Number one, you don't know this person. Because they're saying this to people they literally don't fucking know, it always reads to me as like these people simply cannot wrap their brains around the fact that someone could be content in their life as it stands currently as a single person and still long for love and be honest about wanting that. I know I've talked about this before, but to be nasty to people who you're seeing in a fucking comment section, so you have no idea if they're content or not in their singlehood. You literally do not fucking know them. So to be nasty to them and say that they're so desperate and they just need to completely let go of things and that it'll come to them, like, you are the exact group of people that I was criticizing. You are the exact group of people that I fucking hate. I find you insufferable. Insufferable. Like, these people are allergic to nuance. They are fucking allergic to it. It's crazy. And also, big PSA to these people, but playing cool girl is beating your fucking ass. Being the cool girl all the fucking time is beating you to a pulp. You need to free yourself. Okay, you need to free yourself from the prison of having to play cool girl all the time. It is so fucking lame that any of you would think that acknowledging your longing, acknowledging your wanting, acknowledging your yearning makes you desperate in some way. That shit is so fucking dumb. It is so fucking dumb. Also, it's a little bit hard for it to not come off as a little sexist at some point, because we all know if a man says that he feels like he's ready for a relationship and he's, you know, excited for when he meets the right person for him, everyone's going to be like, oh, that's so sweet. He's so emotionally in tune. But when a woman says it, suddenly it's like, oh, she's so desperate. Like, sorry, what the fuck are we even talking about anymore? Some of you are being beat the fuck up by this pressure to be aloof all the fucking time because it's so uncool to have emotions and to give a fuck and to be honest about the fact that you give a fuck. Oh my God. I can't stand you bitches. I really can't. I truly cannot. Oh my God. So just funny seeing these people in the comments saying that to other people in the comments. Because I'm like, you, number one, literally don't know enough about this person to even hold that opinion. Number two, even if you did know them, we contain multitudes as people. I just think people's bar for what they consider desperate and what they don't is extremely low for women. I think that women get called desperate willy-nilly simply for being honest about their longing and their dissatisfaction, their frustration, their wanting. Like, I think it is actually fucking lame. And I think it's ultimately sexist at the end of the day. Oh my God. Some of you need to go listen to the Cool Girl monologue in Gone Girl. Fuck, I love that movie. But seriously, the idea, the image of Cool Girl is beating some of you guys to a pulp. Your brain is literally like a Sour Patch Kid right now. It is really looking not so good up there. Okay. We got to do some more thinking. Hi, Maddie. Your thoughts on learning to enjoy being single really striked something in me. And although I wish for a loving life partner, I want to get comfortable with the thought that they may come later in my life. I always lived with my siblings, roommates, and animals. I hate sleeping in an empty house. Next year, I'll be moving to Warsaw, which is a popular place, and a lot of my friends already live there. Do you think I should choose living alone purposefully this time? On one hand, I would love to create a little household with my friends, but I think I may just not be comfortable with coming back to an empty flat every day. Was living alone a thing that you always wanted? What did it teach you? Also, I want to get a cat, but maybe that is also some sort of escape from alone time. What are your thoughts? I'll be honest with you. I didn't like the amount of compromise I had to do as a roommate. I want to be selfish in my own home. That is why I choose to live alone. I had roommates all throughout college and for a couple years post-grad. Lived with friends. It was fun when it was fun, and it was not fun when it wasn't fun. I think like there's so many pros that come from living with people. It's a very social way to live, and it can feel comforting knowing that somebody else is just a couple doors down. And also, as someone who loves being alone, it feels different in my body when I am truly alone versus when I am alone with someone else. And also, yeah, there's just like specific ways that I like to live. I think I have, you know, a certain way that I like to decorate. I have a certain schedule when it comes to cleaning, habits that I like to be in. And obviously, when you live with other people, you have to compromise. You have to meet in the middle. You have to find things that work for the both of you. Odds are you and the person you live with are not fucking identical in every which way. So naturally, you're gonna have to meet in the middle and compromise on things. And I think I just learned over, you know, 6 years of having roommates that I don't want to compromise when it comes to where I live, where I relax, where I unplug at the end of the day. When I come home, you know, I go out with my friends, I come home at the end of the day, I walk into my apartment, the door closes behind me. I can't tell you the kind of exhale I release knowing that I'm here all by my fucking self and nobody else is coming home. It is complete and utter relief to me. I love having no one fucking here. I love having no one bother me. I love never hearing anyone wake up in the morning. I love never having to wait to use the bathroom because someone else is in there. I love that whenever there's a mess, I can't blame it on anyone else besides myself. I love that there's no additional room for conflict in how you decorate the apartment, or I love that nobody else's rotting food is in the fridge. I love that I don't have to share a kitchen. I love that I don't have to share a living room, that I can stay up every single night as late as I want watching TV and it's not going to bother a single fucking person. I love that I can invite whoever the fuck I want over to this apartment whenever I want and I never have to, you know, clear it with anyone else and make it into a whole thing. I love that I can have sex wherever I want in this apartment. I love all of it. There are so many parts of living alone that I fucking love. I love my alone time. I love turning off my brain, being completely and utterly alone and not thinking of anyone else besides myself. I want to be selfish in my own home. That's how I feel. In my dream scenario, I am always living alone. I just love having my own space, doing my own thing, making my own rules, and, you know, just not having to bend to someone else. Compromise is awesome. Bending to other people is awesome. Being considerate of other people is awesome. And also, it's awesome to not have to do that. to have a corner of your life, a space that is completely yours, completely about you, that you never have to worry about other people within the four walls of. So I love living alone. I always wanted to live alone. I looked forward to living alone. Living with roommates was also fun. There were also many moments where it wasn't fun, but to be honest with you, to me, living alone is fun 100% of the time. I know that there are some people that would be scared to live alone, or maybe they get really lonely, or, you know, whatever it is. Many reasons why people don't want to live alone. None of those things plague me. Not even one. I think I'm too proactive about my social life to get lonely living alone. In fact, I'm too proactive. I need to hang out with people less. I would like to be more lonely. And to be honest, I'm never scared living alone because, like, yes, I live alone. And also, I live in New York. So there's so many people that live right fucking next to me. We're all living on top of each other. So it's not like I'm completely alone. Like, I get more stressed out when I have stayed in big houses in, like, remote locations. Like, I used to get so scared in my childhood home if nobody else was home, because it's fucking ginormous and it was in the middle of the woods. Granted, I grew up in one of the safest towns in America, Hopkinton, Massachusetts. It's consistently ranked as one of the safest places to live in the whole United States. And I was always scared in that house because it was so big and there was no one around. I don't really feel scared in New York because I'm like, this place is small. And I live on top of so many other fucking people. So I'm alone, but not really, because I got hella neighbors. So it's like, I don't know. You just kind of got to figure out what kind of person you are, I guess. Do you like having roommates, or do you prefer to live alone? I know people whose preference is both. You know, I've got a couple other friends who live alone and love living alone. And I definitely know a bunch of people that prefer to live with roommates. And obviously, I'm all for having cats around. Mango and Bewildered are both asleep to my left right now. And they're just so sweet and make my life so much nicer every single day. And honestly, I think it's just easier to have all these cats running around when you live alone. Like, I'm sure if I had a roommate, me fostering kittens out of our bathroom would be kind of fucking annoying. Because sometimes it is annoying. But that's a choice I want to make. That's something I want to do. So it's nice that I just live alone and I can make those choices for myself. I don't have to, you know, bend to anyone else. It's just me. I want to foster sick kittens out of my bathroom. Guess what? I am allowed to do that. And I don't need to ask anyone before I do it. Ugh, and it's fucking awesome. It's fucking awesome. I recently had a guy on a dating app invite me to hang out and read together for our first date. To me, this sounded super casual and unintentional, like it doesn't allow much room for us to talk. How would you respond to this? Would you suggest something else, or does it feel like an incompatibility? To be honest, when I first read this, I had no idea where this was going. My initial response to seeing someone say that they had someone invite them to hang out and read together for a date, I was like, that's really cute. That's really sweet, actually. It's not like the best date idea, but there's also part of me that kind of likes it, because I think with the right person, like if he is like such a reader and he loves that calm, chill, comfortable silence type vibe, and he's looking for that with someone else, I kind of love that, you know? And also, I just feel like you probably would end up talking for most of it. Like, maybe you get coffee and you read silently for a little bit, but I'm assuming that maybe you would like bring your books with you, but just end up talking and not really reading that much. I mean, you're on a date. You have to engage with each other. So, to be honest with you, I think this is kind of sweet. I would imagine you would meet up at some coffee shop or at a park and you'd bring books with you and you'd just end up sitting and chatting. Maybe you read for a little bit eventually, but I feel like you would probably just end up talking. I don't know. It's probably a better date idea for like a third or fourth date rather than a first. But I think I if somebody proposed this to me for a first date, I would be like charmed by how strange it is, because nobody ever suggests that for a first date. It's always like, you want to get drinks? Do you want to sit and read together? I'm like, actually? Actually, yeah. What? There's something like a little dorky and charming about that. And I kind of love a dork. I kind of love a fucking dork. And I do love the idea of finding someone that you can be comfortably silent with, if that's important to you. That feels kind of important to me. So I'm kind of loving this date idea. This is how you know. This is how you know if someone is comfortable or uncomfortable with silence. Because hanging out with someone who's uncomfortable with silence as someone who is very comfortable with silence is sometimes exhausting. Honestly, me and this guy sound like kindred spirits. Honestly, give me this guy's number. Honestly, if you don't want him, I'll have him. I don't know. I think it's kind of cute. But if you really don't want to do that, I don't think it's that big of a deal to suggest a different date idea. I don't think it's an incompatibility. I don't think we know enough about each other to say that something is incompatible. He just suggested a date idea that you weren't totally stoked on. But you could always suggest something else if you would rather do something else. But I kind of love this idea. Hang out and read together. Yeah, let's just go hang out and read. Let's go on a walk in the park, get coffee, talk. I'll show you what book I'm reading. We can do show and tell for our books. Ugh, I'm kind of loving this date idea. I don't know. I think you should just go. That sounds fun. My friend told me to stop dating for a year. Hey, Maddie, Aussie listener here. Just wanted to start out by saying I've been listening to your podcast for probably 2 years now, and it's my favorite little corner of the internet. So honored. Thank you for being here for 2 fucking years. Holy shit. I'm 24. I've only been in one actual relationship, but I've been casually dating people on and off for years now. I live in Perth, which is basically a glorified mining town, and the dating pool feels more like a crusty old pond in the back of someone's garden that they forgot to look after. It's pretty miserable. So I've had my fair share of dating assholes. Guys nearly 30 waxing on about how they're just not at the right point in life to commit to me. Been there, sister. And I'm just sick of dealing with adult men who behave like children. I was venting to a guy friend about this, and his main piece of advice to me was that I stop dating anyone for a whole year so I can heal and pick better people. While I get where he's coming from, I can't help but feel like that kind of message is a bit shamey and unfair. For context, it's not like I don't have hobbies. I'm in a band, I work out, I see my friends for game nights, I'm currently working on my second degree, etc. I definitely understand the value in taking time for myself, and I do, but part of me feels so angry that the suggestion is always that I'm doing something wrong and not these guys, especially since it's always people in a relationship who tell you to go enjoy being single. And look, I love being single, but why does getting to know myself have to come at the cost of any and all intimacy? Just would love to know your thoughts on this. Sincerely, a lover girl who is tired. I'm totally on your team here. I think it is kind of a dismissive thing to say. Not for the suggestion to take a year off dating. I think it's the pick better people part that I think is quite rude. And that's the one that puts blame on you. I think, listen, famously, I love a year of no dating. Famously, I think it's kind of fucking awesome. And like, I can understand from your friend's perspective, if they've seen you get hurt multiple times in the last year, and they're like, you know what, I would love for you to, you know, have the gift of some alone time, freedom from these fucking losers, so that you can heal and sort of recoup. That part I wouldn't be offended by personally. The part that would have pissed me off is the pick better people part, because I think that sometimes people undercut how much luck goes into finding the right person for you. And I think sometimes the people who got lucky that don't realize they got lucky, maybe they, you know, just met the right person for them quickly, or met never really had to enter the dating pool per se, just like, you know, maybe their parents set them up with someone and they've never been on the apps or like really in like the dating scene at all. I think the people that have avoided it and that got lucky but don't realize they got lucky sometimes say things like this because they can exist under the impression that if they were in the dating pool, they would just pick someone better. Because these people have never been in the dating pool, I think it's easier for them to sort of sit on their high horse and be like, well, if I were you, I would just pick better people. Whereas if you talk to literally any other fucking person that has been in the dating pool, been in the dating scene, and you're saying the same exact things, you know that person's gonna look at you and be like, dude, I fucking get it. It's hard out here. Like, you think you're talking to someone fantastic, and then what do you know? They're emotionally unavailable again. To me, it's the pick better people part of this that is pretty rude. I really just think that there are some people that have gotten really lucky in dating and don't realize how lucky they've gotten. And they look around at single people and people that have had a harder go. And they think like, oh, well, if only they acted like me, if only they did all the same things that I did, they wouldn't be in the situation they're in. If only they picked better people, because clearly I know how to pick better people. When in reality, you could be behaving the same exact way that they did in dating. It's just that they had better luck than you did. They, you know, happened to stumble upon the right person for them and you didn't. Sometimes you can make all of the right decisions in dating. You can do all of the proper vetting. You can be honest and upfront and vulnerable and think you're getting that from someone else and then learn that it's not what you thought it was. Sometimes there's no amount of like upfront discovery or self-preservation you can do that will predict how other people are going to act. Dating is inherently unpredictable, and sometimes things just don't work out. Sometimes people reveal themselves to you later on. That actually happens quite frequently in dating because often people are on their best behavior for the first little bit of it. So I'm sorry that your friend said that to you. That sucks. And it is really judgmental, and I really empathize with you because I would also be upset if a friend said that to me, and it would make me feel really misunderstood. And just know that you are not alone in the way that you're feeling, that there are many, many people that completely understand the way that you're feeling and would never ever look at you and tell you it's because you just need to pick better people. Many of us understand how stupid that is a thing to say. So, listen, not everyone gets it. Not everyone gets it, but fortunately for you, I get it. Okay? So, I'm right there with you, and that would piss me the fuck off too. With that, I'm going to throw it on over to the post show over on Patreon. So if you're interested in becoming a patron, joining up with the rest of Lover Girls Worldwide, enjoying the group chat over on Discord, and indulging in some extended podcast episodes and additional video content from me, a monthly live stream. We do lots of fun stuff over on the Patreon. I would love to see you over there. Love you guys so much. Thanks for listening, and I will see you in next week's episode. Goodbye.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here, and you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.com. SI.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.